Beloved congregation, the disciples said unto their master, Lord, teach us to pray. Do you ever ask that? Do you ever ask that? Why do you ask that? What is it that you are asking the Lord for? Does that request not come out of a felt inability? And what is that inability? Are you not able to fold your hands? Are you not able to close your eyes? Are you not able to bend your knees and to repeat a few words? Your children are able to do that. You say, no, that is not it. I can do that. I've done that for many years. And still, I do ask, Lord, teach me to pray. Thus, what is it? You say, I am laying here on my knees, by my bed. There is no one else in the room. I am not speaking out loud. I'm thinking in my heart, and I'm praying. What do I want? Say, I want to feel something. I want to perceive something. I want to feel communion. I want to feel that I am heard. I want to feel a certain power. I want to perceive that I am not alone and that I am not speaking just into the air. Maybe say, I want to pray like Hannah, who after she prayed, we read her countenance was no more sad. That is what I want to feel. I want to feel communion with God, with that spiritual being who has made me. I want to pray like the publican, because I read he went down to his house justified. That is what I want to feel. Is that what you want to feel? What kind of people were they? Hannah and that publican. They were poor people. They were poor people. I don't say in this world, I don't know that. But they were poor of soul. They were poor of heart. And now it is in this way that the Lord is teaching a man to pray. By making them poor. Do you still want that? To say, O Lord, teach me to pray? We resist that, don't we? To be made poor. But the Lord works through in the life of His true church. And we wish to consider something of that this afternoon from Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, wherein we begin the subject of prayer, the chief part of thankfulness. Prayer, the chief part of thankfulness. There are four questions. We have four thoughts. First, the necessity of prayer. As we read in question and answer 116, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. And also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Thus, the necessity of prayer. Second, the requisites of prayer. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? First, that we from the heart pray. To the one true God only, who has manifested himself in his word, for all things he has commanded us to ask of him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised us in his word. Thus the requisites of prayer, three of them. Third, the subjects of prayer. Question and answer 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. Thus the subjects of prayer. And finally, for a moment, the form of prayer. In question and answer 119, what are the words of that prayer? And that is our well-known Lord's Prayer. Thus, prayer, the chief part of thankfulness. First, the necessity. Second, the requisites. Third, the subjects. And fourth, the form of prayer. The last section of our catechism is devoted, congregation, to the very important subject of prayer. And what is prayer? Very often, and then it is defined, as it were, as the lifting up of the desires unto God. Thus it is a communication, it is a speaking unto whom? Unto God. Thus it is a communication between rational, intelligent creatures, that is mankind, and God. The animals do not pray. The animals cannot pray. The animals do not have the capacity for prayer because they are not intelligent, rational beings. You say, the psalmist says, he giveth to the beast his food and to the ravens that cry. Is that then a prayer? Do not we read about the king of Nineveh? And then he said to his people that both man and beast should not eat, and that both man and beast should cry unto God. Can the animals then not pray? no, congregation, that is not prayer. That is simply a natural instinct of an animal to cry when he is hungry. And that king of Nineveh desired that all of the animals would also be heard, that they would be crying, that they would be moaning. That was not for the sake of the animals, that was for sake of the people. And that the people would hear that moaning, and that they would be affected also themselves with the moaning of the animals. No, the animals cannot pray. Strictly speaking, also God cannot pray. The Holy Spirit is said to make intercession for his church. So what is that then? Does not the Holy Spirit pray? That is actually a certain expression, the way that the Lord tries to instruct us as people, what the Lord is doing, that Holy Spirit is working a spirit of prayer that is within the church, that he is filling, as it were, the mouth of his people with arguments. But then we read, you say, also of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus was also God. God, congregation, has no wants, and therefore God does not pray. You say the Lord Jesus had wants. That is true, but his wants were not in his divine nature. His wants were in his human nature. And it was as a human being that he prayed, unto the divine being. We know that Christ is said to intercede, that he is said to pray for his church. That is what he does in heaven, we say. That is true. But what does that mean? That is not the same thing as we speak about men praying. But we know that that high priest has been a picture that was given to the church of Christ when he brought that blood into the most holy place. And that is a picture of the, what we call prayer or intercession of Christ. And when he is setting that blood before his Father, so his Father can see it. So what is that intercession? That is actually a presentation. That is that the work of Christ, that the death of Christ is placed before his Father, wherein Christ says to his Father, I have now completed the work which I have done. And that is now for the Father, that Christ would say, now the other side of that covenant needs to be fulfilled. I have done my part. Now thou hast also a part to do, and that is for the application, that is to bring in that church. So that intercession of Christ is not an intercession that is based on his want. No, and that is not a prayer to his Father because he lacks. But it is a presentation, it is a demanding for the fulfillment of the covenant that was sworn already in eternity. So that is very different from what we mean when we speak about praying by a man here in this world, in which we read in the Bible, men And as we read that in the beginning of the Bible already, boys and girls, when men began to call upon the name of the Lord, that was already in the days of Seth. And then there was a beginning of public prayer, that coming together. And that had not only to do with praying. Praying is a very important part of the public worship services, but that coming before the Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord, that has to do really with the entire worship service of God. Our fathers call it the chief part of thankfulness. And why is prayer called the chief part of thankfulness? Because prayer is an acknowledgement. Thus, as soon as we children, as we fold our hands, do you do that still? Or do you not fold your hands anymore? When we come before God, then we must be reverent. Not be doing other things with our hands. That is why we fold our hands. Not be looking at other things. That is why we close our eyes. We are not speaking to a man, but we are speaking unto God. And as soon as we fold our hands, before that we have said anything, when we have folded our hands, we have acknowledged. We have acknowledged whom? We have acknowledged God. Now we have said unto God that we need him. We have said unto God that we cannot miss him, that we cannot do without him, that he is the only one that is able to give unto us everything that we need in this life. That he is not only our creator, but as soon as we fold our hands and that we close our eyes, oh, then we have acknowledged that God is also the God of providence, and that there is no one else in this whole world that is able to give us what he is able and willing to give to us. Thus, prayer, that is an act of worship. Prayer is an act of worship in and of itself. When we fold our hands, we begin to worship God when it is right. And that is, congregation, the most important part of prayer. That it is a calling upon the name of the Lord. It has not to do in the first place with the things that we are asking for. It has to do in the first place with the relation that is between God and our soul, and the wants that we need. They're the means that the Lord is using to bring men onto his footstool. The Lord does not have to govern the world in this way, that there should first be wants and needs and prayer and then fulfillment. No, it could be that the Lord says there is just fulfillment, just provision, without anything else. Never felt a need. No. Those needs, they are there in order that men may worship God. And there was a minister, children, who once explained it like this. He says, if you have a man in a little boat, and then you have a big ship, And he wants to come into that big ship. And then there is a rope that is tied to that ship. And you see that man in that little boat, and he is tugging on that rope. What is going to happen? That little boat is going to move. Not the big boat, not the ship. But when that man is tugging, the little boat will be drawn onto the ship. And now that minister said, that is just what prayer is. It brings not God down to us, no. But prayer is the means by which men are brought, are drawn into that blessed communion with God. Thus, God is the only proper object of prayer, as the Lord Jesus says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He is the only one that is able to hear the whole world, the multitude of men at the same time. How many people can you listen to at the same time? You say, only one, your mother, children. She says, do not speak. Your brother is speaking. I cannot listen to two at the same time. And what about the multitudes that are in this world? Well, they may all pray to the Lord at the same time, and the Lord is able to hear each and every one of them. He is the only one that is able to do such a thing. He is the only one that is able to provide for every need, spiritual, natural need for all mankind, all at the same time, because he is the only one that is omniscient. He is the only one that is sufficiently beneficent, benevolent, that is pitiful and kind. He is the only one that is omnipresent, and that is therefore able not only to know but also to provide for the entire world. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Not because God does not know the needs of his people. No, we do not pray to God in order to inform God. No, that is not necessary. As if we must make a list for him. And that if we do not mention it, that the Lord does not know it. And yet, the Lord still requires that men would pray. And why? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. That's not because God does not know, no, but because this is the means that it is in the good pleasure of God to work and to give grace unto his people and also unto the whole world. He is acknowledged by it. He is honored by it. And therefore he has joined receiving to asking. He says, ask and ye shall receive. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. That is simply his good pleasure. He does not have to do it that way, but he is honored by it. He is pleased to do it that way. And therefore, prayer is necessary for Christians. Is all prayer then heard by him? We know the answer is no, and we see that in our second thought, the requisites of prayer. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who has manifested himself in his word, for all things he has commanded us to ask of him. Thus, from the heart. That is now required. It's required in order to be acceptable unto God. There you have the reason that so many of our prayers perhaps are not heard by God. Because how many of them, congregation, are from our heart? How many of them are just vain repetitions? Like we read in the Bible that the heathens do. Some of them very nice. Some of them very biblical. But there's no heart in it. Or is that different with you? The psalmist says the Lord looked down from heaven to hear. To hear whom? To hear what? To hear the groaning of the prisoner. The groaning of the prisoner. Just the groaning. A groaning. Just like an animal can groan, but the animal cannot pray. But the Lord here calls groaning, praying, and he says that is true prayer. The Lord looked down from heaven to hear it. Why? Because there was heart in it. Because there was a man in his misery. Because there was a man in his need. Because there was a man in his helplessness. Because there was a man that only God could help. From the heart, pray. Hezekiah, he was, we read in God's word, like a crane or a swallow, he said, so did I chatter. Chatter. Did you ever hear that, boys and girls? A crane, a bird, just chattering. Did you understand it? You know what he said? He said, I don't understand that language. No. And when you would hear a man just chattering, he would say, well, I do not understand that. It's unintelligible to me. But such a chattering is not unintelligible to the Lord. Such a chattering has heart in it. Such a chattering was genuine. Such a chattering was sincere. Such a chattering came off of a bed of sickness. David says, the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Did you know that weeping? Did you know that tears have a voice? You ever hear them? You say, I never heard them. Sometimes I can see them on people, but I've never heard them. But David says, the Lord has heard them. They have a voice. There is a heart in it. And that is now a supplication, that is now a cry that the Lord hears, and our fathers say that is now a requisite of true prayer, a requisite of that prayer, and that God will hear that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who has manifested himself in his word. In his word is where we learn who that one true God is, who hears prayer. What do we learn there? That he is the triune God, that he is the Father, he is the Son, he is the Holy Ghost. Congregation, without worshiping, without folding our hands, closing our eyes, without honoring, without worshiping the triune God, we cannot be saved. No, it is this God that has revealed himself in his word, has revealed himself as the Father, who is the creator, who is the provider also, who has love in his heart for all of his creatures, even in a natural way, as it were, a certain love for all of his creatures. There is in his heart a benevolence that is the work of God. That is the work, he says, this work is the work of my own hands. We read of this God that he is very pitiful. Is that not a wonder? We read of this God that he is full of compassion. Why do we read that in God's word? That is to draw men unto prayer. We read in God's word of his wisdom, that he is able to solve what we are not able to solve. And what were we not able to solve? Well, when God had to send out Adam from that garden and then place there cherubim with a flaming sword, or when there comes separation, when there is justice, congregation, that we were not able to solve. And now this Father, the first person of that Holy Trinity, has solved this, so that men, sinful men, are able once again to draw nigh unto him. Notwithstanding our fathers say that we are unworthy of it, that he will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised us in his word. That is now the second person in the Holy Trinity. That is why it is necessary that a man worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because outside of the merits of this Son of God, it is not possible for God to hear a man, though he fold his hands, though he close his eyes, though he prostrate himself upon this world. Then there is no way that the Lord is able to hear the cry of such a man. Oh, everything that is given unto men, that is given unto them out of his only begotten Son. not for the reprobate. Not for the reprobate. For the reprobate that is given to them out of common grace. And why common grace? That is for the sake of the church, that Christ may gather his church, that he may bring his church in, that time may be extended, that the world may still continue until that last one is brought in. But everything for soul and body of the true church is bought by that Son of God. And then you say also the Holy Spirit. Or outside of the Holy Spirit, there is no answer to prayer. Why not? Because there is no prayer. There is no prayer acceptable unto God unless the Holy Spirit grant that unto a man. That is what Solomon experienced in his life. He says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out." Oh, those spices, one of those spices, those gifts, those graces of the Spirit, they are, that is, prayer. Ah, without the blowing of the Spirit of God, we cannot pray. We do not pray. Let us sing. Psalter 141, 1 and 3. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. 1 and 3 of 141.
Thank you.
away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Why does David want that? He is not praying for this congregation before Nathan came. He is praying for this after Nathan came. And what was then his condition? You say that man was weeping. That man was full of sorrow. There were tears that were flowing over his cheeks. He was in a way of confession. He felt so deeply his guilt. And now what is he saying? O Lord, take not away thy Holy Spirit from me. I do not want to go away from this place. This place of true repentance. This place where my heart is weeping. Ah, he would not exchange that congregation, not for the whole world. He does not want to go back to that former way. No, when that Holy Spirit is coming, and when that Holy Spirit is giving to him that true godly sorrow to be felt again, to be experienced in his heart, ah, then he says, O Lord, take this not away from me. That Holy Spirit, what did it do? It brought David into prayer. Into true prayer. That is what our fathers say. They say, secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. That is one of the requisites of that prayer that is acceptable to God and that he will hear. And without that Spirit's operation, we cannot come there, can we? Can you bring yourself there? I cannot. I cannot. That Spirit of the Lord alone, because we have no impression of our wretchedness and of the holiness of that holy God. And there is no amount of religion that can teach us this prayer and to bring ourselves in the way of true humility before this God. And you know what our fathers say? Also to continually to ask of him. And now that Spirit of God is necessary also to make such a man to continue. Because you know there are people in this world that do not continue. So despondent, so in despair, that they say, I cannot continue. Ah, O congregation, young people, they even take their own life. Oh, be careful that you are never alone if you have thoughts in your mind about taking your own life. That is an awful, awful despair. That is not where the Lord is leading. You know what he is doing? He is making a man to continue. That Holy Spirit of God, he is the one that is able, as our fathers say, to fully persuade him that he, God, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer, as he has promised us in his word. Oh, the Holy Spirit alone is able to convince a man of his sin. The Holy Spirit alone is able to convince a sinner, of the grace of God. And now it is this people who are taught to pray. Ah, they are taught to pray upon a new foundation. Our Father say, for the sake of Christ our Lord. Ah, were you ever taught to pray? For the sake. You say it so much, children, right? When you come to the end of your prayer, and then you say, in Jesus' name. Or you say, for Jesus' sake. Oh, ask the Lord to teach you that. The great, the beautiful, the blessed meaning of those words that you take upon your lips every single day. Because our fathers say it is a requisite. It is a requisite of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear. He cannot hear for our sake. He can only hear us for the sake of his only begotten Son. There is one name and only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Prayer, the chief part of thankfulness, the necessity, the requisites, also the subjects of prayer. We're not allowed to just ask for anything. No, there is a rule for us, what we may ask the Lord for. And that rule is what? That is his holy word. Our fathers say, for all things he has commanded us to ask of him. Young people, we live in a world wherein their praying before their sports games. You ever see that? What do you think in your heart? I hope that it is so repulsive to you that you would never want to join yourself in watching such a thing. Oh, what does the Lord say? He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But do not deceive yourself as if that you can serve God and Mammon at the same time. We may not ask for just anything that we want in this world. And such a thing is mockery. What hath God commanded us to ask of him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. Do you read such a thing in the Lord's Prayer? In the Lord's Prayer, we have the sum and the substance of what God commands us to ask of him. They are spiritual things. They are temporal things. Spiritual things. They are the things necessary for the salvation of our souls. Oh, do you ask for them? Are you concerned for them? Do you desire them? Oh, do your prayers make it evident that these are the things that are lying upon your soul, that you have a burden that you carry with you over this world, that you are beseeching the Lord day by day for the need of your poor soul. We do not ask unless we feel the need, unless we feel the lack. Do you feel it? Do you desire the salvation of your own soul? The Lord commends us to ask for this thing. That is, in the first place. That is, he says, he will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Oh, to ask for this, that is to the honor of the Lord. Because that says that the Lord is able to do it, but the Lord is also willing to do it. That is, children, that he is able and that he is willing also to give new hearts unto those that ask for them. We do not do wrong when we lay that promise of the Lord before him in prayer. The Lord who says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Because he says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Everyone that asketh, that is the word of God. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I cannot change that. Do not wish to change that. No man can change that. That is the promise of the God of heaven. You say, only the elect shall receive it. That is true. That is true. Does the Lord command only his elect to pray for it? No, he commands every one of us to pray for it. Do you want to prove that you are a reprobate? Do you want to prove that? Then forbear asking. Then do not ask. Because then you will prove it. But do not think that you will be able to blame God when you stand before him in that last day. Oh, the elect do not know that they are elect. The elect are manifested. The elect are made known. How are the elect made known? What are the fruits in the life of the elect? Here is a fruit. They ask. They seek. They knock. They receive. They find. It is opened unto them. That is now the manifestation. That is how that they become known. Oh, and a truly poor and needy soul ought to ask, congregation, in faith, the Lord says, believing that he will receive it. Because it is the promise of the Lord. Thus, there is no need for such a person who is asking, an upright seeker. There is no need for such a person to be discouraged. Jeremiah, he says, the Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. He is good for them. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord. Do you do that? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. David says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. And it is the Lord who is going to exalt thee, he says, to inherit the land. That is now the promise of the Lord to those who are waiting, to those who are asking, to those who are seeking. That is for those spiritual matters. That is in the first place, the subject of prayer. But then there are also natural things. There are also temporal things. No, not sinful pleasures. Food, drink, what we need to come through as a stranger and as a pilgrim through this life. Does the Lord promise them that he is going to answer every prayer of his people according to what they want? Is that the promise? It is not. It is not. Do you know what the promise is? That for my people who will pray unto me, who will ask it of me, I will cause all things to work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, Jacob, he says, all these things are against me. They are all against me. Do you know what he thought? I pray, and it is vain. It is vain. You ever think that? The Lord does not answer me. Was that true in the life of Jacob? That was not true at all, was it? Later he may see. Later he may understand. Oh no, it is not according to our will, but it is according to his will. And those that are waiting, those that are looking, those that are asking, those that are seeking, those that are longing, those that are crying, those that are groaning, the Lord knows. And them, he also hears. Lastly, congregation, for a moment, our Father set before us the form of prayer that is in the Lord's Prayer. And of course, we hope to consider that in the coming Lord's days. Not that that form is meant by the Lord to replace the prayers that ought to be also free, but the Lord is instructing us in the manner of prayer and the subjects, the parts of prayer. Then we see that there is adoration in prayer, to adore God. It's part of prayer. That there is confession in prayer, that there is petition in prayer, that there is intercession in prayer, that there is thanksgiving in prayer. All of these things that we hope to see in that form where the Lord gives to us what prayer is, there is no more perfect prayer than the Lord's Prayer, that is encompassing everything that a man needs for time and for eternity. But there are other prayers in God's Word also. which are true prayers, which are answered prayers, and that are also there to be mimicked, to be copied, that we may use. When you read the prayers of David in the Psalms, does that ever fall on your heart? Does that ever become also the prayer of your heart? No, we are not to be concerned in the first place with words, but we are to be concerned in the first place with the matters, because sometimes congregation, the church, does not have words anymore. They have no words anymore. And when there are no words anymore, as we heard before, when there is only in the heart a weeping, then David says that the Lord has heard it. David also speaks about the desire. He says the Lord has heard the desire of the humble. You have a desire. You have a desire. Can we hear that? He said, not unless you speak it. But without speaking, just a desire. That is, congregation, what the Lord hears. Thus, what is it in the life of the church? Oh, then their whole life becomes a supplication, doesn't it? Because there is a desire. There is a living desire. Sometimes they say, oh, if I could only have that desire more lively. But that desire that is living in the bottom of their heart, sometimes they may receive a little opening in prayer, especially in the beginning. Later on, you know what it becomes? It becomes a crying out of their deadness. A crying out of their lifelessness. That is still prayer, isn't it? That is still prayer. And why is that prayer there? Because life is there. Because if there was no life there, there would be no cry there. There you have it. That is, congregation, now the communion. That is the communion of that true church with God. The Lord spoke of those people. He says, they are my elect. They cry unto me. They cry unto me day and night. Those people are often despised, especially by the religious world in which we live. You know, they would never want to give up that crying life. That crying life. And that people are heard. They are heard by Him who hears the needy when they cry, and they will be saved by Him who saves their souls when death draws nigh. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember them who cry to Thee because of their hardness, because of their lifelessness, because of their deadness, because of their carnality, because of their guilt, because of their sin, because of their waywardness, and because of their poverty because they cannot bring themselves out of it. And so they cry to thee. Our Lord, hear their cry. Visit them. Oh, give them a little token for good, that others may see it, that thy children may be glad for them, that the wicked may be put away. Humble us under thy gifts, thy help. Bless thy word. Be with us in the rest of this thy holy day. Help us each one in our place in this world, in the week that we have entered. Watch over us with our children and our youth, keeping us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Prepare us to meet thee in peace and in righteousness, and teach us to pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. 150, all the stanzas. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken, and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. 1 through 4 of Psalter 150. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.